Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden age. I'm your host, Mark LeVonier. Thanks for tuning in to an hour of sitcoms. We have some classics coming up later on. It's The Great Gildersleeve, but right now Robert Young stars in Father Knows Best, celebrating his birthday in this NBC broadcast from February 22nd, 1951.
Is Maxwell House the best coffee in the whole world?
Well, your father says so, and your father knows best.
Father Knows Best, transcribed in Hollywood, starring Robert Young as Father. A half-hour visit with your neighbors, the Andersons. Brought to you by Maxwell House, the coffee that's bought and enjoyed by more people than any other brand of coffee at any price. Maxwell House, always good to the last drop. Today, being the 22nd of February, the people of America are engaged in a nationwide celebration, honoring the birth of the man who was first in war, first in peace, and first in the hearts of his countrymen. In Springfield, in the white frame house on Maple Street, the celebration has reached a melodic and spirited climax, like this.
Happy birthday, dear father. Happy birthday to you.
For both George Washington and myself, I say thank you.
Speech!
Ladies and gentlemen...
Jim, don't you think you'd better blow out the candles before they drip all over the cake?
Okay. Hang on to your chairs, kids. This is going to be like blowing out a forest fire.
Oh, it's
harder every year. Now, suppose we forget about the speech and concentrate on the cake. May I have your plate, Margaret?
Just a small piece, dear.
All right. There you are.
Jim, I said a small piece.
Well, it's my birthday. I'm in a generous mood. Betty?
Thank you, Father.
Bud?
Oh, don't worry about getting mine too big, Dad.
All right. How's that?
Oh, Jim, not the whole cake.
Leave him alone, Mom. He's doing fine. Boy.
Bud, when you feel the explosion coming on, give us time to step back.
Okay, Dad.
Kathy?
Is it all right if I don't eat any cake, Daddy?
Why, Kathy...
What's the matter, kitten? Don't you feel well?
Oh, no, I feel fine. I just don't want any cake, that's all.
Are you sure, Kathy?
Yes, Daddy, I'm sure.
Well, okay.
Why don't you open the presents, Father?
Don't you think I ought to have a chance to eat my cake?
It'll only take a minute, Dad.
But if I... Well, okay. Let's see now. This one says, with all my love, Margaret. Thank you, dear.
I hope you like it.
I'm sure I will.
Daddy, may I please be excused?
What for? Don't you want to see what I... Say, that's beautiful. And it's exactly what I needed. What is it?
Jim.
Oh, it's,
It's a golf pouch for your belt. And it's real leather.
Oh, I see. Tea's on the outside, money on the inside. That's a good idea. Thank you, honey.
You're welcome, dear.
Ah, this is a big one, isn't it? Happy birthday, Father dear. Lots of joy this coming year. May your troubles all be petty. Lovingly, your daughter, Betty.
Oh.
Never mind, Bud. That's very sweet, Betty. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Father.
Don't you think I ought to go upstairs and do my homework?
Why, Kathy, we're having a party. This is no time to do homework. Well.
They're binoculars, Father.
I know, but...
The man said you could see practically anything with them.
That's fine, but these are kind of expensive, aren't they? Where'd you get the money to buy them?
Oh, I just made the down payment.
And I'm supposed to...
There's only a balance of $85, Father.
Well, that's nice. Especially when I need binoculars, like I need an extra head.
You mean you don't like them?
Oh, I like them fine. I can use them for finding people who want to buy insurance.
Jim, I'm sure Betty won't mind if you turn them in for something more practical. Will you, Betty?
No, but he doesn't have to before Monday, does he?
What happens on Monday?
Well, not Monday, Father. You see,
Stanley Lawson is a bird watcher, and Sunday he's going to take me out and show me how you watch birds.
With my binoculars.
Well, I didn't think you'd mind if I borrowed them just this once.
You can watch them through Stanley Lawson's binoculars. One eye apiece.
Jumping creepers.
Open mine up, Dad.
$85.
Jim, Bud's present.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bud. Well, now that's a tender sentiment.
What does it say?
From Bud. Isn't that nice?
Jim.
Oh, gee, I don't know how to write poetry or anything.
Is this one all paid for?
Sure.
You don't have to write poetry.
Father.
There's nothing I like better than... Well, a camera.
But...
It's got a flash attachment and everything.
It's very nice. Of course, you realize that I've already got a camera.
I know, but you won't ever lend it to me.
I see. Thank you very much, Bud.
You're welcome.
Well, I guess that takes care of the presents.
Kathy?
I better go inside and practice.
Kathy, what about your present?
I don't have any present, Mommy.
Honey, it doesn't make any difference.
I gave her 50 cents to buy a present, and I want to know what happened to it.
Oh. Well.
Kathy?
Didn't I tell you about that, Mommy? Oh, it was awful.
What was?
What happened to the 50 cents? I was going down to Mr. Crandall's drugstore to buy the present, and you know the empty store next to Mr. Crandall's?
Yes.
Well, 9 men with beards on and great big guns jumped out of the store and grabbed me. And they knocked me down and they took my 50 cents. And one of them said, "You better not tell anybody or we'll kill you." They did. And I said, "You better give me back my 50 cents. That's to buy a birthday present for my daddy." And then they all said, "Ha, ha." And then they ran away.
Jim, I have never...
Just a minute, honey. Is that all, Kathy?
I couldn't help it, Daddy. There were 9 of them.
Holy cow, if you believe
it... Never mind, Bud. I'll handle it. Kathy?
Yes, Daddy?
You're sure there were only 9 men?
Yes, Daddy.
With beards.
And guns.
Well, sounds like the old Capone gang.
That's who they looked like.
Yes. What's that spot on the front of your dress?
Spot?
Looks like chocolate, doesn't it, Margaret?
It is chocolate.
Maybe one of the men had chocolate on his gun, and when he stuck me up...
Kathy, why don't you tell us the truth?
But it is the truth, Daddy. I was walking down the street.
All right, never mind. Margaret, why don't you and Bud and Betty see what's doing in the kitchen? I'd like to have a little talk with Kathy.
All right, dear. Come on, Betty, Bud. We'll start on the sandwiches for the poker party.
9 men with beards.
What about my cake?
Bring it with you. Stop talking with your mouth full.
Boy, she dreamed up a pip this time, didn't she?
Bud, you're getting crumbs all over the floor.
Kathy.
Yes, Daddy?
Now, would you like to tell me the truth?
About what, Daddy?
About the 50 cents.
Oh, but I did. I was walking along, minding my business.
When out of an orange-colored sky...
What?
Never mind. How many sodas did you have this afternoon?
Why, Daddy, I didn't have
any. Kathy?
3.
Oh. I see.
I couldn't help it, Daddy. I only meant to have one. And the first thing I knew, the whole 50 cents was gone.
Well, why didn't you tell me that in the first place?
I didn't want you to spank me.
So you made up that horrible lie.
Well, it was the only one I could think of.
Oh, Kathy, what are we going to do with you?
I don't know.
Of all the days to tell a lie, George Washington's birthday...
And yours, too.
Do you realize that in his whole life, George Washington never told a single lie?
He didn't?
He certainly didn't. When he chopped down his father's cherry tree, he said, "I cannot tell a lie. I did it with my little hatchet."
Did he get spanked?
Of course not, because he told the truth. And when he grew up and the people were looking for a president to be father of this country, they said, "Let's get George Washington. He never gets into trouble." course, in those days, there weren't any music critics.
Daddy, if I always tell the truth, can I get to be the father of my country?
Well...
And be the president?
It's possible. Heaven help us. Kathy, do you know what I'd like for a present more than anything in the world? For you to tell the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth.
You mean that's all you want?
That's all.
And you won't be mad at me anymore?
I'll be the happiest father in Springfield.
Daddy, I won't ever tell another lie. Not ever again. As long as I live.
That's a promise now.
Oh, yes, Daddy.
All right. We'll see what happens.
Jim, I don't want to interrupt.
It's all right, honey. We've got everything all settled.
I'm going to be the president.
What?
I'm going to tell the truth about everything, no matter what happens.
That's fine, dear. Jim.
That's what I'm giving Daddy for his birthday.
All right, Kathy. Jim.
Ask me anything, and I'll tell you the truth.
Kathy.
Anything at all.
Jim, if you're going to play poker tonight, don't you think you'd better get the table ready?
Good grief. Is that what time it is?
I don't care what you ask me.
Bud?
I'll tell you nothing but the truth.
You want me, Dad?
Give me a hand with the poker table like a good fellow.
Okay.
How can I tell the truth if nobody asks me anything?
Kathy, go into the kitchen and help Betty with the dishes.
But I want to tell the truth.
Well, why don't you just handle it as it comes along?
How can I if nobody asks me anything?
They will.
When?
I think the table's down in the playroom, Dad.
Bud, ask your sister something.
What?
Ask me, Bud, please, about anything.
I don't want to know anything.
You see? Nobody will help me.
What's the matter with her?
I don't know. I think maybe I sold her too large a policy.
All right, Kathy, into the kitchen.
It isn't fair. I promised I'd tell the truth, and now nobody will let me.
Jim, I hope you haven't started something we can't control.
Don't worry about it, honey. If I know Kathy, it'll wear off in 10 minutes.
What will, Dad?
What worries me is that 10 minutes.
Honey, a simple thing like this can't cause any trouble.
What can't, Dad?
You certainly can't get into trouble telling the truth, can you?
Who can't, Dad?
Bud, can't you ever keep still?
About what, Dad?
Went tearing out the back door shouting she was going to show everybody.
Jim.
And she hasn't even got a sweater on.
Oh, dear.
What's the matter with that child? All I said to her was...
I did it! I did it!
Kathy, come in here.
I did it, Daddy. I cannot tell a lie. I did it with a little hatchet.
You did what?
I chopped down Mommy's rosebud.
Oh,
less than an hour later, and for some reason, we're reminded of what the poet Milton said in his immortal Paradise Regained. Hard are the ways of truth and rough to walk. Of course, we aren't sure, but isn't it just possible that the poet Milton might have had a daughter like Kathy Anderson? Hmm?
I did, too.
You did not.
I certainly did.
You certainly didn't.
Bud, what's going on out there?
I did, too, have a right to call her.
Dad, do you know what she did? She called Evelyn Finney and told her I sent a valentine to Nancy Moore.
Well, it was the truth, wasn't it?
Jim, I told you in the beginning.
Kathy.
You said you wanted me to tell the truth.
Evelyn said she was never going to talk to me again, and it's all her fault.
It is not my fault.
It certainly is.
It certainly isn't.
Well, wait a minute, both of you. Kathy, did you call Evelyn Finney?
Sure, I called her. I had to tell her the truth, didn't I? Mother!
Oh, dear.
Mother, do you know what that little monster did? She told Billy...
Oh, there you are. Just wait till I...
Daddy!
Leave her alone, Betty.
But you don't know what she did.
I told the truth. That's what I did.
She called Billy Smith and told him I was going bird watching with Stanley on Sunday.
Betty.
I told him I was going over to Janie Liggett.
She told a big lie.
I did not. I am going over to Janie's. first.
Kathy.
My life is ruined. My whole life.
What are you kicking about?
Bud?
Evelyn Finney won't even talk to me. And she's got all my biology notes.
Bud, the door.
And I'm warning you right now. If I flunk biology, it's all her fault.
Kathy.
Yes, Daddy?
Let's get this straight once and for all. Unless people ask you, you are not to tell them anything.
Not even the truth?
Not anything.
Not even Mrs. Smith?
How did she get into this?
Kathy, you haven't been talking to Mrs. Smith.
Well, sure. And she said she wanted me to tell her anything else I found out.
What did you tell Mrs. Smith?
Well, I just told her that last Saturday when Mr. Smith was supposed to be working, I saw him go into the bowling alley, that's all.
Oh, Kathy.
Well, it was the truth.
Jim, you've got to do something about this.
Dad, it's Mr. Gribble.
Oh, no, not Gribble. Not... Go on into the den, J.P. We'll be right in.
Okay, Jim. Take your time.
Did you invite him to the poker game?
Of course not. He's the worst poker player in the entire country.
But if he finds out you're having a game...
We've got to get rid of him before he does find out. The boys won't play with him, and I'll be in a jam.
Why don't I just tell him the truth?
Kathy, if you so much as open your mouth... Wait a minute. I think I've got it. Betty, sneak out into the hall and get our coats.
What, Jim?
Just your mother's and mine.
But, Father...
Don't ask any questions. Just do it, please.
Jumping creeper.
Now, this is a great idea, honey. If he thinks we're going out, he'll go someplace else.
Isn't that telling a fib?
It's no such thing. We aren't going to tell him anything. We're just going to put on our coats. And if we want to put on our coats, why shouldn't we? Right, Margaret?
Well, I suppose you can look at it that way.
It still sounds like a fib to me.
Well, nobody asked you.
Here are the coats, Father, and I brought your hat, too.
Oh, thank you, Betty.
Jim, I...
Put your coat and hat on, Margaret, and let's go.
I can't just put a hat on, dear. It takes...
Well, then carry it. He'll get the idea.
Jim, if only you wouldn't get us into these situations.
Honey, how did I know he was going to stop by? Just because his family's in Florida and he's at a loose end. Are you ready?
I suppose so.
Okay, here we go. Now, Betty, you come along, and if Kathy starts to say anything...
I'll strangle her.
Daddy!
That's the idea. Well, how are you, J.P.?
Oh, but now we're just sitting here.
Oh, just going out, eh? You and Mom going someplace, Dad?
Well, as a matter of fact, we...
Hello, Mr. Gribble.
Hello, Mrs. Anderson. Girl.
Hello, Mr. Gribble.
I suppose I should have called, but, well, I wasn't doing anything, and I just thought, Too bad, isn't it, Kathy?
He asked me, Daddy. You heard him. He asked me.
Kathy.
He said, isn't it too bad, and I have to tell him.
We weren't actually going out, J.P. We just got back. Haven't had a chance to take off our coats. That's all.
Oh, well... Then I can look forward to a pleasant evening after all.
Yes.
I didn't hear you and Mom.
Never mind, Bud. Would you excuse us for a minute, J.P.? We've got to take our coats off.
Don't pay the least bit of attention to me. I'll just make myself at home.
I'm sure you will.
Come along, Kathy.
But I want to stay with Mr. Gribble.
Jim.
You heard your mother, Kathleen. You've got to leave Mr. Gribble alone.
Oh, why don't you stop worrying, Jim? I'll just sit here with the children and have a nice little chat. Won't I, Kathy?
Yes, Mr. Gribble.
Oh, dear.
Betty.
I'll keep an eye on her, Father.
Okay. We who are about to die salute you.
What? What was that?
I said, we'll be right back. Won't we, honey?
Yes, we'll be right back.
Well, you're getting to be a big girl, aren't you, Kathy?
Would you like to ask me something?
Will Mrs. Gribble be in Florida long?
Jim, what are we going to do?
We've got to work fast. Now, you go next door to the Davises and tell Ed the game is off.
But is it...
There's nothing else we can do, Margaret. I can't afford to insult Gribble. And I've got to get in there before Kathy starts popping off. Go out the back door, then he won't see you.
All right, dear. I just hope you know what you're doing.
I just hope I come out of this alive. That's what I hope. A fine birthday this is turning out to be. Oh, no, not already.
Want me to answer the door, Dad?
Never mind. I'm right here. I'll be with you in a minute, J.P.
Take your time, Jim. No hurry.
Hello, Jim.
Ed.
Thought I'd come by a little early in case you needed any help.
Help? What I need is a doctor. Margaret just went out the back door to try to stop you.
What for?
Is that it, David?
Yes, J.P. He just came in for a minute.
Gribble.
Hello, Ed.
Hello, Mr. Gribble. We'll be right in, J.P.
Okay,
Jim, I told you I'd never play poker with him again.
I didn't invite him, Ed. He doesn't even know there's going to be a game.
Well, get rid of him.
Sure, and get rid of all of his insurance business at the same time. Is that what you want me to do?
No, but...
Look, why don't you call the fellas and explain what happened?
I don't know, Jim. It's pretty late.
Well, standing here isn't going to make it any earlier. Oh, no, not again.
Dad?
I'll get it, bud.
Okay.
So help me, Ed.
Why don't I just stand outside with a red flag and a smallpox sign?
Very funny.
Hi, Jim.
Oh, Hector, I want to tell you something.
Well, let me in. It's cold out here. Hi, Ed.
I've been better.
Who hasn't? Oh, isn't this a miserable night?
You don't know the half of it.
You know, I still can't figure out how Elizabeth knew I went to the bowling alley.
What?
Oh, you wouldn't know anything about it. You see,
Jim,
I...
Jim, is everything all right out there?
Oh, sure, J.P. Everything's fine.
Gribble? Heck, I was just explaining to him.
Now, look, Jim, I've had enough trouble today, and if you think I'm going to play cards where that tight-fisted knot-headed...
Hector?
Oh, hello, Mr. Gribble. Your voice.
We'll be right in, J.P.
Jim, we can't just stand here. If anybody else shows up, he's going to suspect something.
What makes you think he doesn't already?
I know what we can do. Offer him a drink and I'll slip in a Mickey.
Say, it's a great idea. Hold it, will you? He's coming.
Well, this is a pleasant surprise. I didn't expect to see you boys tonight.
We were just standing here...
Discussing a little business deal. Weren't we, Heck?
business deal. Jim, I'm awfully sorry. I hadn't the faintest idea I was interfering with anything. Why didn't you tell me?
Well, you know how it is, J.P.
Say, Dad, Mr. Gribble was telling
me. We won't have time for that now, Bud. If you get me my coat, I'll be running along.
There isn't any hurry, J.P. We're just going to... Bud, you heard Mr. Gribble. Get his coat.
But you just said...
Holy cow. Well, this seems like old times, doesn't it? Some night when you boys aren't so busy, why don't we get together for one of those good old-fashioned poker sessions?
The funny thing, J.P., we were just talking about the same thing. Weren't we, boys?
Yeah.
We sure were. We sure were.
Here's your coat, Mr. Gribble.
Thank you, Bud.
Let me give you a hand with it, J.P.
Oh, well.
Daddy, Betty won't let me tell Mr. Gribble about your present.
Not now, Kathy.
Father, I've done everything I could,
All right,
she...
Betty, I'll take care of it. Kathy, Mr. Gribble's in a hurry.
But it'll only take me a second to tell him, Daddy.
Kathy.
Oh, let the child speak, Jim. Don't be such a Simon Legree. What is it, dear?
You know what I'm giving my daddy for a birthday present? I'm going to tell the whole truth to everybody.
Well, that's fine, Kathy.
Good. Now,
Don't you want to ask me something?
Kathy, Mr. Gribble's leaving.
But if he wants to ask
He doesn't
me...
want to ask you anything. Do you, J.P.?
Why... No, I can't think of anything right now.
You can't?
No, dear, I'm sorry.
Well, J.P.
Why don't you ask me if my father's going to have a poker party tonight?
Sometime this weekend, maybe tomorrow, you'll buy the coffee you'll be serving next week. And you'll want the one coffee that gives you the most in flavor for your money. So take home the coffee with the world's most famous flavor, our Maxwell House coffee. Then tomorrow night, pour a cup of Maxwell House for the world's greatest coffee expert, your husband. When he smiles and says, "Best coffee ever," you'll know why Maxwell House is famous the world over for flavor. Then when you add up all the wonderfully good cups of coffee you get from every pound, you'll agree it's Maxwell House for value, too. So tomorrow at your grocer's, look for the sign of good coffee, the big white cup and drop on our friendly blue tin. That's Maxwell House, always good to the last drop.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Robert Young. Today is not only the birthday of George Washington and Jim Anderson, it's my birthday as well. I've always felt very close, therefore, to the basic ideals of Americanism and the principles on which this country was founded, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You'll notice that nothing is said about an individual race or color, that no mention is made of a privileged faith or religion. On this day, therefore, why don't we review for a moment our own personal adherence to the rules of democracy and pledge ourselves to a better life during the coming year? Let's not live as members of a certain race or color or creed. Let's live as Americans. Thank you.
Join us again next week when we'll be back with Father Knows Best, starring Robert Young as Jim Anderson, with Roy Barkey and the Maxwell House Orchestra. In our cast were June Whitley as Margaret, Rhoda Williams, Ted Donaldson, Norma Jean Nielsen, Joseph Kearns, Herb Vigran, Barney Phillips, and yours truly, Bill Foreman. So until next Thursday, good night and good luck from the makers of Maxwell House, America's favorite brand of coffee. Always good to the last drop. Father Knows Best was transcribed in Hollywood and written by Ed James. Now stay tuned in for Dragnet, which follows immediately over most of these stations.
Now it's exciting and authentic Dragnet on NBC.
Father Knows Best, on Tuned to Yesterday from February 22nd, 1951 on NBC. In that same year, Robert Young was seen in one motion picture alongside Joan Crawford called Goodbye, My Fancy. 3 years later, he would reprise that movie role on the Lux Radio Theater. It's an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, and now Willard Waterman is the great Gildersleeve in this NBC episode from May 2nd, 1951, called Cleaning the Judge's House.
Great Gildersleeve is brought to you by the Kraft Foods Company. Well, with spring here, there's a lot of house cleaning going on in Summerfield. The great Gildersleeve has refinished his parlor furniture. Mr. Peavy has sprayed his screens. Chief of Police Gates has whitewashed the jail. Even the Jolly Boys Club over Floyd's Barbershop hasn't escaped. And while the paint is drying up there, the gang is meeting at Judge Hooker's house.
For it's always fair weather when good fellows get together with a sign on the table and a good song
like Fred Waring, fellas.
Yeah, we are in good voice tonight, Gilda.
Floyd, what are you trying to play?
Home Sweet Home, Commish. Right off the needlepoint on the judge's wall.
Home Sweet Home. I love that picture. My mother in Salinas has one over the mantel. Play something else, Floyd. The chief's getting sentimental.
Okay. Let me see.
That's fine, Floyd.
Oh, it certainly is, Floyd. Oh, my goodness. What's the matter with the judge?
Perhaps it'd sound better, Floyd, if you'd pull out all the stops.
Well, it ain't a bad old organ, Judge.
Thank you. It hasn't been played for quite a while. There are a few cracks in the bellows.
If the air's escaping, Floyd, try pumping your feet a little faster.
If you're going to sing any songs, I better save my legs. Hey, what's that?
It's my doorbell, Floyd.
Yeah, I thought we was raided.
Yeah, that must be Peavy.
Come in, Peavy.
Judge. Gentlemen.
Hi, Peavy.
Hello, Mr. Peavy.
Peavy, we were just about to sing a song.
There is a tavern in the town.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, Peavy, I have a lot of good music.
Yeah, why don't we try one of these antiques here on the organ?
Well, let's see what the judge has here. Your bird in the gilded cage. Cubanola glide. Alma, where do you live?
How about this one? I picked a lemon in the garden of love. That was a hit song in 1906.
I didn't know they had lemons in 1906.
Yes, they did. I used to go with one.
Say, fellas, here's a dandy. My wife's gone to the country. Hurrah, hurrah. 1909.
Let's take this one. We all know it.
Yeah, that has a solo line for me.
All together now, gang. Hit it.
By the light.
By the light.
Chief. Oh, it was nothing, Commissioner. Ho, ho, ho.
Well, if I do say so myself, the acoustics are excellent here in my parlor.
Yeah, music always sounds better in a musty room.
Floyd?
Huh?
Well, I do the best I can. Since I don't have my housekeeper now, it's a chore to keep things spick and span.
I think it looks mighty nice, Judge. I've never seen your pussy willows over the fireplace look better.
Thank you, Chief. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'll go brew some tea.
You're a good idea, Judge.
Forget what I said, Judge. You're a swell housekeeper.
That's all right, Floyd.
Ain't he a crummy housekeeper?
Well, you didn't have to tell him so, Floyd. Judge's house wouldn't look bad at all if he'd get some of the junk out of here.
He's had those old cattails behind that picture for 20 years.
Well, cattails I can stand, but them peacock feathers in the umbrella stand ought to go.
Well, the place could stand a spring cleaning. Things accumulate over the years.
Yeah, I'll say. Last week when me and Lovey was cleaning, we threw away a truckload of stuff.
Well, the judge doesn't have anybody around to help.
Say, why don't we jolly boys clean up the judge's house?
Us?
Sure. He's going out of town tomorrow. We can surprise him. Oh, wait a minute, Commissioner. I just got through renovating the jail. Took me a whole day to lamp black the cell bars. Yeah, come on, fellas. Now, what do you say? It'll be a jolly boy's good deed.
I wish you'd thought of these good dudes last week when Mrs. Peavy and I were cleaning.
We ought to do it for the judge. He's lived with it so long, he doesn't realize how cluttered his house is. Remember our slogan now, all for one and one for all.
Well, I'm game. I'll donate half a day from the barbershop.
Great, Floyd. It'll be worth it to get rid of all this underbrush he's collected. What do you say, Chief? If everybody's for it, I'll help.
Well, Mrs. Peavy always likes a chance to tend the drugstore.
Yeah, okay. It's a deal. But don't say anything to the judge. Let's keep it a secret.
Here comes the tea. Well, what are you gentlemen huddling about?
Oh, nothing, Judge.
Yeah, we're just deciding on another song.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, indeed.
Okay, how about Goodbye, Pussy Willows, Goodbye?
That was a fine breakfast, Bertie.
Thank you, Mr. Gilsey.
Now, where's the scrub pail and the mop?
Scrub pail and mop?
Yeah, that's what I asked for, Marjorie.
What's the matter, Unc? You spill your prunes?
No, Leroy. The pail and mop, please, Bertie.
Yes, sir.
And some floor wax, furniture polish, and dusting cloths.
Yes, sir.
And I'll want the vacuum cleaner, Bertie.
The
Miss Gilsey, what are you trying to do, get Bertie's job?
No, not exactly, Bertie.
That's what he's trying to do, get Bertie's job.
Hunky, what's this all about?
It's a secret, it's a secret.
What are you up to?
Now, kiddies, don't get curious.
Who's curious about a scrub bucket?
Maybe the water commissioner's going to scrub up the office.
No, nothing like that.
I know, the mayor's transferring onto the street cleaning department.
He is not. As a matter of fact, I'm just doing an old friend a favor.
Oh?
Last night at the Jolly Boys meeting, I had a great idea. We were at the judge's house, and I noticed it's in pretty bad shape, because he doesn't have his housekeeper. So it occurred to me that while he's out of town today, it'd be a nice gesture if the Jolly Boys pitched in and cleaned house for him. I thought of it.
Yeah, we got that impression.
Well, I think it's a wonderful idea, Unky.
Well, I'm always thinking of nice things like that. All the Jolly Boys are meeting here this morning, and then... Oop, here they come now.
I'll get it!
Yeah, I'll get it, Bertie.
Hey, that's the judge. I see his car out front.
Uh-oh. Have to get rid of him. The judge mustn't know what I'm doing. That'd spoil everything. Coming! Yeah, remember, kiddies, it's a secret. Mum's the word.
Who's talking?
Morning, Gilda.
Judge, I thought you'd gone to the county seat.
I'm on the way. I just dropped by to bring your cigar lighter. You left it on the organ last night.
Yeah, thanks, Judge. Well, see you later. Have a nice trip.
Gilda, are you trying to rush me off?
Judge, I'm expecting some other people.
Oh, stop pushing me. Who?
Well, some friends of yours. We're going to do you a favor. But you aren't supposed to know about it. It's my idea.
Oh, a surprise for me?
Yeah, little idea I cooked up with the Jolly Boy.
Well, I won't ask what it is. I'll be on my way.
Hey, wait a minute, Judge. Aren't you curious?
What?
We're doing this for you, remember? You might show a little interest.
I thought I wasn't supposed to know about it.
You're not. By the way, Judge, you still keep your house key under the welcome mat?
Well, yes.
And how about those antiques? Will that finish take a furniture polish?
Of course, Gildy. Why do you ask?
Well, that's part of my big idea. What about your rugs, Horace? You take them out and beat them? Or vacuum them?
Gildy, what are you up to?
You mean you haven't guessed by now? Judge, while you're away, I'm cleaning your house.
You?
Well, like I say, I'm pulling the Jolly Boys in to help me. I don't want to take all the credit myself.
Why, Gildy, old friend, what a splendid thing to do for me. But you fellas shouldn't give your time.
Oh, glad to do it, Judge. Now be on your way before the others come.
Oh, yes. I better go. Goodbye.
Goodbye. And remember, Judge, this is our secret.
Some secret.
Leroy.
Unky, I thought you weren't going to tell the judge.
Well, Marjorie, he wheedled it out of me. Yes, yes.
Don't tell anybody. It's a secret. Mum's the word. Big deal.
That boy.
Well, Unky, you were pretty obvious with the judge.
Well, my dear.
Miss Gilsey!
Yes, Bertie?
I got the floor waxed, the furniture polished, the bathroom clean, and the mop bucket ready.
Well, thank you, Bertie.
I'll get it!
Yeah, I'll get it, Bertie. What if I wasn't a lobbyist? You're doing something for somebody. You deserve the credit. No use hiding my light under a mop bucket. Hello.
Hi, Commish. This is Floyd.
Oh, Floyd, I'm waiting for you. We're due at the judge's.
I can't leave the barbershop today, Commish.
You can't?
I got 9 customers waiting for haircuts.
9?
Farmer Nelson just brought in his kids.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Floyd, can't you put them off?
At $1 a head? Little Floydie Munson ain't crazy. Sorry I can't be with you, Commish.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Have a good time.
Yes, yes.
Goodbye, Commish.
Goodbye. That Floyd, down at his barbershop making money. What a sneaky way to get out of cleaning house. Hello, Peavy.
Hello, Mr. Gildersleeve. What can I do for you this morning?
What can you do? Peavy, don't look so innocent. Last night, you promised to help me clean the judge's house.
Uh-oh, yes, yes. Well, I'm afraid you'll have to count me out, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Peavy, not you, too.
That's the way it looks.
Well, I thought Mrs. Peavy wanted to run the store.
Yes, but this is her day to run their garden club.
Peavy, which is more important? the garden club or cleaning the judge's house?
I'd hate to put that to vote before the garden club.
Yeah, all right, Peavy, if that's the final word.
That's the final word, Mr. Gildersleeve. I heard it this morning before I left home.
Well, here comes the chief. He'll help me.
Good morning, Peavy.
Hello, Chief.
Hello, Commissioner. I was just by your house, and they told me I'd find you at the drugstore.
Well, Chief, are you ready?
You bet I am. I'm letting a deputy prepare lunch for the prisoners, so I'm free.
Yeah, you're true blue, Chief. Of course, we'll have to do this job alone.
We will?
Yeah, Peavy and Floyd won't help us. Fair weather friends.
Well, it isn't as if we wouldn't like to, Chief. We ran into complications.
Oh? Well, in that case, Commissioner, perhaps we should clean the judge's house another time.
Well, I can't do that, Chief. I told the judge we were going to clean his house today.
How's that?
Yeah, I mean, you told the judge? Commissioner, I thought this was to be our little secret.
Well,
Blabbermouth.
Oh, Peavy.
On second thought, Commissioner, I don't think I can help you today either.
What's this, Chief?
Well, my deputy doesn't make a very good stew. The prisoners might complain.
Yelfer, that's an excuse, and you know it.
Yes, I know it.
You're all right. Back out, all of you. You'll be sorry you didn't help me clean the judge's house.
Well, now, I wouldn't say that.
Whose idea was this, anyway? Yeah, I never dreamed the Jolly Boys wouldn't be able to help me. I have a feeling I put myself on the spot. Still, why should I go over to the judge's house and do all that work myself? Yeah, I better lie down on the couch and think this over. In a way, it wouldn't be fair to the others if I went over alone. If I did all the work, I'd get all the credit. It's supposed to be a Jolly Boys project.
Aki, what are you doing on the couch? I thought you were going to the judge's house.
Well, Marjorie, the plans have changed a little.
Oh?
Peavy has to stay at the pharmacy. And Floyd has a big rush on at the barbershop. And the chief says he has to be at the jail. Everybody has an excuse.
What's your excuse?
Well, I'll think of something everybody else has.
Well, I don't see how you can refuse to go through with it now, Unky.
Well, why not?
Well, it was supposed to be a secret. But you had to tell the judge. Now you can't back out.
No, guess not. Blabbermouth.
What?
Nothing. Boob. Stoop. Pigeon.
Unky, you can't just sit there calling yourself names. You've got to keep your promise.
Well...
Well, if you don't, the judge will be disappointed in you. It might even break up your friendship.
Well, that might teach me a lesson.
Oh, I'd hate to see anything come between you and Judge Hooker.
Oh, I don't think it'll come to that. Maybe the judge thought I was kidding this morning. After all, Marjorie, it is a pretty silly idea. A bunch of grown men going over and cleaning a house. Sure, I'll bet the judge has forgotten all about it.
Miss Gildersleeve.
Yes, Bertie.
Here's a package somebody sent you.
Me?
What an interesting-looking box. Open it, Unky.
Yeah, who'll be sending me a package?
What is it?
It's a box of cigars. My favorite brand.
Ain't that something?
Here's the card, Unky.
Yes, let's see. To my thoughtful friends, with a thousand thanks, Horace Hooker.
Oh, he hasn't forgotten, Unky.
You had a heck of a time to remember. Now I've got to clean his confounded house. I'll take the buckets, Leroy. You bring them up.
Okay. Gosh, Uncle, why couldn't Marge come over and help you clean? This is women's work.
Well, Marjorie has the twins to look after, my boy.
Well, why can't I go home and look after the twins and send Marge over? They like me. I make them laugh when I wiggle my ears. They probably miss me right now.
No, Leroy, I need you here.
What about Bertie?
Well, Bertie has her chores to do at home. Besides, she just cleaned our house. Can't ask her to clean another one.
Hey, maybe the judge's key isn't under the mat.
Well, no such luck.
Maybe it's the wrong key. Maybe it'll jam the lock. Maybe it can't work it.
Step in, Leroy.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll start. Let's see, where will we start? You know, not in the parlor. Pussy willows, cattails. Yeah, we'll save the hard job for the last.
Unc, I'm not too interested in doing this.
You aren't?
I can't clean house. I'm just a little kid.
Leroy, I wasn't going to mention this until we'd finished the job. But I plan to give you 50 cents for helping.
50 cents? Oh, boy, I'm the best little house cleaner you ever saw.
That's the spirit, my boy. Let's begin with the judge's study.
Holy cow! Look at all the newspapers and magazines. Stacks of them. And this is only one room.
You're all right, Leroy. 75 cents. I'd be scrubbing a kitchen floor. Water commissioner with housemaid's knee.
Uncle, you scrubbing that floor again?
Yes, Leroy.
Maybe I shouldn't have hauled the ashes out through the kitchen.
Well, for some reason, we don't seem to be making much progress. You take all those papers outside?
Yeah, and I found this can of paint in the garage, Unc. Maybe I could touch up some of the scratches on the pantry door.
Well, it wouldn't hurt.
Oh, boy, I like the paint. Look at Unc.
Yes, Leroy. That isn't the way to handle a brush. Let me show you the stroke.
Yeah, but gosh.
Painting is ticklish business. Yeah, don't be afraid of it. You have to get some paint on the brush, like this. All over the floor.
Oh, brother. Now you got to scrub the floor again.
Yeah, I have a better idea. Bertie, this is Mr. Gildersleeve.
Uh-oh.
Move that chair back, Leroy.
Sure. Isn't that vacuum getting hot, Bertie?
It's smoking. But when I finish this rug, I'm through. I'm through.
Me too. I'm bushed.
Yeah, the potted rug looks nice, Bertie.
Thank you, sir. Them old cattails sure did shed.
Yeah, good riddance.
I left them out by the ash can, Unc, with the peacock feathers and stuff.
Good boy. How does this table look, Bertie?
Well, it looks as though it could have a little more elbow grease there.
Yeah, is that all it's going to get?
Gosh, house looks pretty good.
Yeah, the old judge will like what we did. And Bertie, I'm going to reward you with a $5 box of candy.
Thank you, Mr. Gildersleeve, but anybody can look at me and tell I don't need candy.
Well, I thought you'd like that.
Of course, I could use the $5.
Yeah, just as soon as we get home, Bertie, you deserve it.
Thank you, sir.
Well, heck, don't I deserve more than 75 cents?
You bet, my boy, you deserve a dollar.
Hey, Keene!
And I deserve a medal.
Yes, sir.
Anybody home?
Oh, hi, Mr. Munson.
Hi, Leroy. Kamish. Oh, Bertie.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Lloyd. And Peavy.
Well, Mr. Gildersleeve, thought we'd drop by and see if we could be of any help.
Yeah. You're a little late, Peavy.
Hey, the place looks different, don't it, Peavy?
My, yeah.
Well, it should. We've worked here all day. Here, Bertie, fluff up the judge's Chicago World's Fair pillow.
Yes, sir. When the judge comes home, he's going to think he's in the wrong house.
Yeah, could be, Bertie.
Yes, sir. Mr. Gildersleeve threw out the cattails, the pussy willows, and the peacock feathers, and now the judge is going to think he's in the wrong house.
Yes.
When the judge walks in his study and sees all them newspapers and magazines gone, he's going to think he's in the wrong house.
Yeah, that's about right, Bertie.
Mr. Gildersleeve, you know what the judge is going to think when he sees all that stuff gone?
Yes, Bertie.
That's right, he's going to think he's in the wrong house.
I think Bertie's got something there.
Well, it cost me a little money. It was a lot of work, but by George, it was worth it. I'll sleep like a baby tonight.
You know, it makes me tired just to look at all you've done.
Well, the judge's place wasn't really dirty. He just had it all cluttered up.
Well, look at this.
Hey, it's the judge.
My, What a shiny kitchen I have.
You come on in, Judge, and take a look.
Well, Peavy, Floyd.
Hello, Judge.
Hi, Judge.
And Gildy. How can I thank you, old friend?
Yeah.
How beautiful my parlor is.
Yeah, I'm glad you... Judge, what have you got there?
Let's see. The pussy willows go here. Cattails here. Peacock feathers in the umbrella stand and the milkweed pods atop the organ.
Is he kidding?
Judge, where'd you find all those things?
Out back. Apparently you forgot to bring them in after you cleaned.
The judge!
Now, will you gentlemen help me carry in my papers and periodicals? They're out by the ash can.
Yofer, you old goat. Why don't you bring the cans in, too?
This is Gildersleeve again. Just thought I'd mention that all the folks in Summerfield are working very hard on the civil defense program. Hope you and your community are doing the same. This is most important to each one of us. I suggest you get your copy of the official civil defense instructions either from your local civil defense organization or by writing to the superintendent of documents in Washington, D.C., and enclosing 5 cents in coin or stamp. Thanks for being with us. See you next week. Good night, all.
The Great Gildersleeve, on Tuned to Yesterday from May 2nd, 1951 on NBC. That brings to a close this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. It's been a pleasure.